Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, July 17, 2022, Romans.
All right, did you survive the monsoon? You never thought if you lived in the desert, you'd have monsoon, right? We have monsoon every summer. Comes up out of the Gulf. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I believe, chapter 4 will be in the books, and we will be in chapter 5. That usually comes after four. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16, Abraham is presented as the pattern for salvation. Romans 4:16, for this reason, salvation is by means of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation, may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham, not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. And then that brought us to the great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21, where Abraham is also the pattern for spiritual maturity. And after the great parenthesis, now we come to Romans 4:22-25, and that's the conclusion of the teaching on Abraham as the pattern for salvation for the whole human race. Verse 22, therefore also it, faith in Christ, was imputed to him, Abraham, as righteousness, divine righteousness from God. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake only that it, righteousness from God, was imputed to him. So Genesis 15:6 is not just how Abraham was saved. Genesis 15:6 is the pattern of salvation for everyone. The righteousness from God is imputed to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Abraham is the pattern of salvation for the whole human race, for Jews and Gentiles alike. Jews are not saved by keeping the works of the law. Jews are imputed with the righteousness from God by simply believing in Jesus Christ. And likewise, Gentiles are not saved by their human good works. Gentiles are imputed with the righteousness from God by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 24, but also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, is destined to be imputed to the ones who believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord out from the dead ones. And we concluded last time explaining the question is, why does it say, believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus our Lord? Why doesn't it say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Romans 4:24 is not the only verse where the object of faith is God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ taught the very same thing in John chapter 5, verse 24. And I had you turn to that. You might want to turn over there this morning now. John 5:24. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding a Bible class. And in verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me is God the Father. He has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death, spiritual death, to life, eternal life. So the Lord Jesus Christ taught the same thing that Paul is teaching here in Romans 4:24. God the Father is the one who designed Operation Grace, the cross. The plan of salvation was designed by God the Father. God the Father sent God the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas was the greatest miracle that this world will ever see. Jesus Christ took on true humanity in order to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. God the Father gathered up the sins of the world and imputed them to Christ on the cross. And then God the Father judged our sins in Jesus Christ once and for all. Then God the Father resurrected our Lord Jesus Christ out from the dead ones. So believing in Jesus Christ is tantamount to believing in God the Father, who sent Christ from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. So when you believe in Christ, in effect, you also believe in God the Father, whether you realize it or not. The author of the plan of salvation was God the Father, The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you are believing in God the Father as well. By raising Christ from the dead, God the Father declared dogmatically that Jesus Christ had won the great strategic victory on the cross. So while Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked. As the author of Operation Grace, the cross, through the imputation of the world's sins to Christ on the cross, through the judgment of the world's sin in Christ on the cross, and through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So while Christ is the only Savior, God the Father is inseparably linked, as declared by Jesus Christ himself in John 5:24. Now, that brings us to verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses. This is the nominative singular of the relative pronoun host, plus the aorist passive indicative of paradidomi, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the accusative plural of paraptoma, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Now, for those of you who are here consistently and faithfully, you are all enlightened on some concepts. I do teach from the original autographs, not from the English translation, but I do teach from the original autograph. And so if you've been here consistently and faithfully, you've heard this many times. The preposition dia, if you have dia plus the genitive, this is by means of, means, instrumentality, or agency. Uh-oh, 100 push-ups. All right, there you go. Dia plus the genitive by means of, if it's a person, by the agency of, and it's always that way. That's dia plus the genitive. When you have dia plus the accusative, now it means because of, always because of. Well, what we have in the last verse of chapter 4 is dia plus the accusative used two times, and the translation should be because of, on account of. All right, I'm giving that to you before we get into this. All right? So we have the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S, the relative pronoun host, always refers back to its antecedent. The antecedent is our Jesus, our Lord. Verse 24. Who, so you translate this, who, Jesus, our Lord, verse 24. And then, paradidomi. P-A-R-A-D-I-D, long O-M-I, paradidomi. Now, a couple of things on this verb, paradidomi. Literally, it means to hand over, to give over, to deliver. That's literally, to hand over, to give over, to deliver. Two, it especially is used for handing over for suffering, handing over for punishment, delivered over for judgment. So it is especially used for handing over for suffering, handing over for punishment, delivered over for judgment, and that's how we're going to translate it. Delivered over for judgment. Three, Jesus our Lord was delivered over for judgment. And then we have dia plus the accusative. It's going to be two times in this verse. Here's the first time. Dia plus the accusative. Now you know that means because of, on account of. And then we have ta paraptomata hemon. That is our transgressions or our sins against God. So the corrected translation, who? Jesus our Lord, from verse 24, who was delivered over for judgment because of our transgressions or because of our sins, and was raised again for our justification. Wrong. That's the King James, and I always start with the King James just so I can say wrong. Wrong. And of course, a lot of the translators of the King James weren't even Christian. They weren't even believers. A lot of them were just unbelievers. So we have the conjunction chi plus the aorist passive indicative of egeiro, plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the accusative, the second time, of dikaiosis with a definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The conjunction chi is connective, correctly translated and then we have the verb egeiro. E-G-E-I-R, long O. Egeiro. Now, egeiro is a verb for the doctrine of resurrection. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. You would graph the constative aorist like this. It views the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in its entirety. The passive voice, Jesus Christ received the action of being resurrected by God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So a couple of things. One, both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had a role in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had a role in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two, just as our Lord's spiritual death on the cross was unique, he was imputed with the sins of the world and was judged for all of our sins. So his physical death was unique. Just as our Lord's spiritual death was unique, he was imputed with the sins of the world and was judged for all of our sins. So his physical death was unique. He had a trichotomous separation. A trichotomous separation. First of all, he dismissed his human spirit to God the Father in heaven. Nobody took his life from him. He dismissed his spirit to God the Father in heaven. Second, his soul went to Hades to give the victorious proclamation that he won the strategic victory on the cross. And third, his body went to the tomb. So a unique trichotomous separation. He dismissed his human spirit to God the Father in heaven. His soul went to Hades, where he gave the victorious proclamation that he won the strategic victory on the cross. And third, his body went to the tomb. Three, in resurrection, the omnipotence of God the Father sent our Lord's human spirit through billions and billions of light years of space to his body in the tomb. In resurrection, the omnipotence of God the Father sent our Lord's human spirit through billions and billions of light years of space to his body in the tomb. 4. Simultaneously, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit returned his human soul from Hades to his body in the tomb. Simultaneously, the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit returned his human soul from Hades to his body in the tomb. So both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are declared to be agents of the resurrection of Christ. The Father sending the Spirit from heaven to the body in the tomb. The Holy Spirit sending the soul from Hades to the body in the tomb. So, 5. Now, rejoined in the resurrection body, our Lord walked right through the stone. There was a stone that was placed in front of the tomb. And there were Roman soldiers guarding it so that nobody could say that he had been resurrected. Take his body. They were concerned somebody would come and take his body. So they had soldiers guarding the tomb. Jesus Christ went right through the stone. He's in a resurrection body. You have your resurrection body, you can go right through stones, walls, whatever. But in your resurrection body, you won't use it for wrong things. You have no sin nature. You have a resurrection body. And the resurrection body can go through walls. Jesus Christ went through the stone of the tomb, went through walls. That's the resurrection body. So now, joined in the resurrection body, our Lord simply walked through the stone. Later on, an angel rolled away the stone so that the world could see and verify the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 6. Many passages declare that God the Father is the agent of the resurrection. Many passages. So let's look at some of those many passages. First of all, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. God the Father is said to be the agent of the resurrection in many passages. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, let's start at verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, the greatest eyes and the most important eyes that you have are the eyes that are in here, not the eyes that are on the outside, physical eyes. It's the eyes that are in your heart. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. His is God the Father's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, at the right hand of God the Father, in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1:18-20. Turn over to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, this is the baptism of the Spirit, our identification with Christ in his death and burial, and also in his resurrection. So we have, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith, by the working of God, God the Father, who raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Y'all have a Bible? Anybody here that doesn't have a Bible? If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. Well, let's start back at verse 9. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he, God the Father, raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Turn over to Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. This is again the baptism of the Spirit, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and also in his resurrection. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, by the agency of the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start at verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Special phrase in the Word of God, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. A lamb without blemish or defect, the impeccability of Jesus Christ, sinless perfection, therefore qualified to go to the cross and be our Savior. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, through whom you believe in God, God the Father, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. There's another passage of faith in God the Father. Turn over, and that, well, our passage, Romans 4, 24 and 25. Romans 4, 24 and 25, but also for our sake, it, the righteousness from God, is destined to be imputed to the ones who believe in him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus, our Lord, out from the dead ones, who, Jesus our Lord, was delivered over for judgment because of our sins, our transgressions, and he was resurrected because of our justification. 7. God the Holy Spirit is also declared to be the agent of Christ's resurrection. As in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. So turn over to Romans 1, 4. God the Holy Spirit is also declared to be the agent of Christ's resurrection. Romans 1, verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. Regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. There's his Jewish royalty as the son of David. And who through the Spirit of holiness, God the Holy Spirit, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the Holy Spirit is declared to be one of the agents of the resurrection of Christ in Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And then 1 Peter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. First Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So, the Word of God makes it clear there are two agents in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They coincide with the unique spiritual death of Christ, a trichotomous death. He dismissed his spirit to the Father in heaven. His soul went to Hades for the victorious proclamation. His body went to the tomb. At the resurrection, God the Father sent the spirit back into the body in the tomb. God the Holy Spirit sent the soul into the body in the tomb. And he, in his resurrection body. So, and he, Jesus our Lord, was resurrected. And then we have dia plus the accusative, the second time. Now you know, because of, on account of, tein dikaiosin hemon, our justification. The corrected translation is, because of our justification. Tain dikaiosin hemon is our justification. A couple of things. Dikaiosis looks like this. D-I-K-A-I long O-S-I-S. Dikaiosis. And dikaiosis is only found in the New Testament scriptures two times. Only found two times. Both times they were by the Apostle Paul, and both times they are found in Romans. Romans 4:25, and then over in Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Romans 5:18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. So Paul is the only one that used this word. He used it two times. Our passage, Romans 4:25, and then in Romans 5:18. So dikaiosis means justification, vindication. Corrected translation. Who, Jesus our Lord, was delivered over for judgment because of our transgressions, because of our sins. And he was resurrected because of our justification. All right, you got that? That's the corrected translation. He, Jesus our Lord, was delivered over for our judgment because of our sins. He was resurrected because of our justification. One, justification was completed by the Lord Jesus at the cross. Justification was completed by the Lord Jesus at the cross. Two, he won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict by solving mankind's problem of sin once and for all. This verse is very dogmatic. Justification was completed by the Lord Jesus at the cross. He won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict by solving mankind's problem of sin once and for all. Three, the justification had to be accomplished before the resurrection of Christ. The justification had to be accomplished before the resurrection of Christ. He was resurrected because of our justification. Justification had to be accomplished before the resurrection of Christ. Four, the salvation work of Christ on the cross was totally completed before he died physically. The salvation work of Christ on the cross was totally completed before he died physically. The salvation work of Christ on the cross was that 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Right in the middle of the day, God the Father brought a supernatural darkness. Why? Why in that 3 hours? Because now God the Father is imputing His Son, Jesus Christ, with all the sins of the world, and God the Father is judging the sins of the world in Jesus Christ during that 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. When the darkness left, Jesus Christ was still physically alive. Salvation work was over. All the salvation work was completed. He's still physically alive. And that's when he said, "Tetelestai." It is finished. All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross. So that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can have eternal salvation. Four, again, the salvation work of Christ on the cross was totally completed before he died physically. Five, while Jesus Christ was still physically alive, he gave that greatest of all victory cries. Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation and justification was finished. While Jesus Christ was still physically alive, he gave that greatest of all victory cries, Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation and justification was finished. Six, he did not die physically until after his salvation work was completed. He did not die physically until after his salvation work was completed. We see this in Colossians 2. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed ruling demons and demons in authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. 7. Christ's salvation work on the cross paid the redemptive price for the sins of the whole human race, so that God the Father could impute His righteousness to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. Christ's salvation work on the cross paid the redemptive price for the sins of the whole human race, so that God the Father could impute His righteousness to all those who believe in Jesus Christ. 8. Christ's resurrection is the proof, the demonstration to the whole world that Jesus Christ accomplished what He came to do. He solved mankind's problem of sin. Christ's resurrection is the proof, the demonstration to the whole world that Jesus Christ accomplished what He came to do, solve the world problem of sin. 9. Therefore, because He lives, God the Father can impute His righteousness to every person who responds by faith in Christ. Therefore, because He lives, God the Father can impute His righteousness to every person who responds by faith in Christ. So verses 23 to 25. Now, it was not written for His sake only, not just for Abraham, that it, the righteousness from God, was imputed to him, but also for our sake. It, the righteousness from God, is destined to be imputed to the ones who believe in Him, God the Father, who resurrected Jesus, our Lord, out from the dead ones, who, Jesus our Lord, was delivered over for judgment because of our sins, and He was resurrected because of our justification. Ta-da! Chapter 4 is in the books. We'll take a break, give you 15 minutes. Be careful you don't get melt from the monsoon out there. See you in a few minutes.